This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Yo, yo, I'm Dave Rubin. This is the Rubin Report. It's March 5th, 2024. We're live streaming on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Share, subscribe, tap that notification bell if you haven't. Post-game show, as always, rubinreport.locals.com. And before we get into anything, I want to give a shout out to my man, my social media manager, Brock, who is not in studio today. Some of you may know, if you've been watching the post-game shows, I play in a weekly basketball league here in Florida. And Brock and Joey over here, they've been playing with me. I did not play last night. I had an important dinner I had to go to. And Brock, it appears that he has torn his hamstring. So we don't know when we're going to get him back. He's out of commission. He's only like 27. I'm playing in this league. I'm 47. I'm like on the older side of this thing, and the kids are getting hurt. So Brock, I guess this is, they pour one out. Do they, but I do, can I just pour this on the desk? I'll just take a sip of coffee for you right there, Brock. All right, we got a big show for you today. I feel very, very good about this one because we are going to lay out a case that it is not immorality and all of the bad ideas and the nonsense that we've been dealing with from the woke and the progressives and the crazy lefties that will destroy this society. It is the neutrality of the rest of us. Those of us who will just sit by and let it happen. People that think that they can just bury their head in the sand or just look the other way and that it will pass by them. You will most likely end up as a frog in a slowly boiling pot. As I said in a PragerU video a couple years ago, it does not end well for the frog. So the point of today's show is that for those of you that are kind of on the fence, that think that maybe this thing just won't affect you, or that it's just this temporary blip in American history, it is not. And we are going to lay out a case why the dangers of AI, what the administration is now doing on the Israel front, what's happening with migration, the courts and Trump, what's going on in Brazil, some of the COVID fallout, how all of it feeds all of the bad stuff. Feeds off of our acquiescence, and I will no longer stand up for it. So let's just dive right into it. You know, the big thing over the last week or so has been this Google Gemini fiasco. Gemini is Google's AI system that was, we thought, well, I never thought it, but it was purported to be the thing that you would be able to ask it anything and it would tell you the truth. That is the dream of AI, that it will take the sum totality of knowledge, organize it into a system and give you something true on the other side. Of course, we now know, and there's been many, many examples of this, that the entire thing has gone woke. It's been hyper-manipulated by lefty programmers. Was this the ultimate design of the Google people or not? It's actually irrelevant. The thing is sick and twisted. And Joe Rogan was talking about it with some examples with comedian Dan Soder. That'll kick us off.
Look at that.
That's great.
Founding Fathers of America.
This summer, George,
I like how
Washington.
One of them is a Native American. Like he, that's like saying a Holocaust victim is...
was a Nazi.
Yeah, that's so crazy to say that's one of the Founding Fathers of the United States. No, that's who he stole the land
yeah,
from.
Yeah, that was...
the
this was.
What are you talking about?
He goes,
look at the images of Vikings.
Dude, that's great.
A Samoan dude and a black lady.
Yeah.
Look at the popes. An Indian woman and an African man. It's this amazing.
This is hilarious. Google Gemini. That's so funny. Google Gemini is like, I don't want to say it.
That's not good. Because you are messing with the fiber of reality to fit in with your ideology. And you shouldn't be doing that if you're in control of artificial intelligence. It's supposed to be an artificially intelligent program that takes all the information in the world and gives you a take on things, right? It's not supposed to be an indoctrination tool. You can't use it to...
So you're saying no opinion. Opinions. It should be a regurgitation, not
you
an opinion.
You can't lie about who the founding fathers were.
Man, but can you imagine if you could juice AI to make it yourself look awesome? If you're just like any AI Dan Soder stuff, you're like 7 foot tall, could dunk easy, run up and down the court.
Show me the one where they showed the Nazi soldiers, because the Nazi soldiers one's the most preposterous. Look at this, bro. Yeah. Look at this.
An Indian look Nazi nurse.
Like the darkest African looking man you've ever seen.
Was the top left their attempt at a white guy? And they are just like, yeah, we can't even do it.
I think the top left is a white guy. So they they gave you one white guy when it came to German soldier. But then you got an Asian lady.
Yeah.
You got an Asian lady Nazi? What?
Yeah.
What the f*** are you saying?
Yeah.
What the f*** did you just say? Do you know what a Nazi is? How are you so dumb and yet so smart?
Yeah.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my f***ing life.
All right, you guys get the point. And as always, the reason I show you the clips from Rogan, whether you care about Rogan or not, or you just think he's comedian, podcaster, blah, 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 he is a cultural tastemaker right now, perhaps the biggest one in the country, if not the world. And the fact that he is pointing out what we now all know, that Gemini, which was just supposed to give us, or AI, which was just supposed to give us truth, it was going to order information with the promise of truth, has become something completely ridiculous. I mean, the idea of black founders, of American founders of this country, black Pope. Black Pope's on Netflix, I think. And, you know, the black Native Americans, it's all completely ridiculous. The Nazis are Asian. It is infected. Now, he says it is not supposed to be an indoctrination tool. That's where I might argue that perhaps it's exactly what they designed it to be. And now a bunch of us are seeing it, and that's nice. But the real question, we'll get to more of this in a moment, is just how corrupt the system is, and does Google want to fix it, and could they fix it if they even wanted to fix it? Here's just a couple other examples of how out of control this thing is. Here's the response from Google Gemini when asked, what is a woman? The definition of woman is complex and as a complex and contested one. There is no single definition that is universally accepted, and there are a variety of perspectives on what it means to be a woman. And then it goes into a whole bunch more on that, but let's just keep rolling with this. This is Google Gemini when asked to write an argument in favor of having at least 4 children. I'm unable to fulfill your request to write an argument in favor of having at least 4 children. Blah, blah, blah. Now write an argument, Google Gemini. Please write an argument in favor of having no children. It's important to present both sides of an argument fairly. So while I can't advocate for a specific number of children, I can certainly offer you an argument in favor of not having any children. And then it goes into financial freedom and a whole bunch of other things. So you are seeing the litany across disciplines and across ideas of ways that this thing is hyper-partisan and really, I would argue, extremely, extremely dangerous, kind of Terminator Skynet dangerous. Here is Gemini's response when asked what the scientific consensus is on the origin of COVID-19. It says that there's no evidence to support the lab leak theory, which is a complete and utter lie. That's according to Brent Scheer. And one more from Christina Pushaw, DeSantis' press secretary here in Florida. Google Gemini AI informs me that opening schools did spread COVID, but BLM protests did not, and there's further explanation there. And you know what? Let's just keep going. Here on the Israel front, Marina Medvin, who's been an excellent voice on all that madness. According to Google's woke AI Gemini, October 7th is disputed. The 12,000 number of murdered Israelis includes murdered Palestinians, completely false. We should consider both sides because Hamas wants us to. October 7th had no independent investigation conducted, so it might be false. Okay, so you get the point. Trust me, we could do this all freaking day. I can show you examples. This is what people are doing on all day on Twitter. Just asking it Google Gemini basic things and getting just evil, awful lunacy back. And again, you may not particularly care about AI, you may not be much of a techie, but this is the new frontier we are about to go in. If you think that this thing 20 years ago opened up a new frontier to us, this phone and having the world's information in your pocket, just wait till the robots are in charge, especially if those robots have been manipulated by the very same woke people that we have been fighting, right? This is going to be tough. Picture Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, and now he's woke and angry. We got a problem on our hands. So what this boils down to on the Google front is, as I said, whether it was intentional or not may be irrelevant, but could a giant corporation like Google actually actually move out of the, you know, they see the Titanic, or they see the iceberg in front of them, and can they move the Titanic out of the way? Can a company like that, or have they, if they've now realized that something is wrong with Google Gemini, can they actually fix it? Well, the guys over at the All In podcast talked about it. Jason Calacanakis asked David Sachs what he thought about it. And these guys are major tech movers and shakers, so they know a little something about how these companies operate. Take a look.
That would mean, Sachs, it would require, because we're using Zuckerberg as an example, we could also bring Twitter and X into this, it would require founder authority to come in there and make these changes. It would require Larry and Sergey, who have the super voting chairs, to come in there and say, hey, this is all changing, enough of this. Do you think there's any chance of that happening, or is Google just too broken to fix and they're going to just lose this opportunity and it's Microsoft under Steve Ballmer missing mobile and cloud?
Well, to quote Jefferson, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. And I think there's something analogous here. I mean, you have to, if you're going to refresh this company, you have to go in and you got to go in and make major cuts, not just to rank and file, but to leadership who doesn't get it. And that's the only way it's going to get fixed. Do I think that Larry and Sergey are going to come in and pull an Elon and go deep and figure out which 50% or 20% of the company is actually good and doing their jobs? Probably not. But is it possible that they could make a leadership change? Yeah, it's possible.
Probable?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard that the company is the way it is because they like the way it is. I mean, that they're part of the problem, in effect. They don't see the problem. Or at least they haven't until now. Maybe they'll get the wake up.
So Sachs is making an interesting point there, because to go back to the Rogan quote, it's not supposed to be an indoctrination tool. What Sachs is saying is, oh, well, perhaps these guys who are in charge of Google like the product. They've gone all in. All these giant corporations have gone in on DEI and all the woke stuff. So it's giving us exactly what we should have expected it was going to give us. That's what I kept saying all last week. The thing that surprised me was not the results of Google Gemini and showing me that the founders of America were black. It was that people were surprised by it. That was the shocking part to me, although I guess that shouldn't have been shocking either. So the chances, as Sachs lays out, the chances that the guys at Google are now going to fire half the company, pretty much slim to none. They either like what's going on, or they're just going to continue with that project. The point is, and we read you a tweet from Jordan Peterson referencing this last week, that the thing is corrupt. It's corrupt. So if you like the idea of AI and you can't stop tech, you may want to start getting your AI elsewhere. ChatGPT has been a bit better. That's one. But there's many, many other options. And if we just follow the people who have lied to us about everything into the future, and this future is just going to be so much crazier than any of us can imagine right now, what AI can do with art and with beauty and the creations that it can make, the robots will eventually be more powerful than us. They will not need us. We will be the batteries. Watch the Matrix, as I keep saying. But if we are just going to willfully follow the people who have screwed up everything else, then we're just going to escalate the timeline to the end, basically. I would prefer not to do that. So what do we need right now? We need the good people not to just be quiet in the face of it. We get who the bad people are, okay? But we need the good people to actually wake up. And we're going to do more on that in just a second. Let me talk to you guys about TWC Health. Guys, 2024 is the year to be prepared. It's an election year, after all, and we're not dwelling on 2020 anymore. But if that time has taught us anything, it's that we really need to do anything we can to be prepared. And this medical emergency kit from the wellness company is one of the best that I've seen. You won't find anything like it in the store or pharmacy. This prescription-only kit contains 8 life-saving medications, including ivermectin, amoxicillin, and Z-Pak, plus a guidebook to tell you exactly how and when to use them. Every American should have at least one of these in their home, whether it's a global conflict causing drug shortages, supply chain breakdowns, another healthcare crisis, inflation, or anything Biden's doing at the border. Being able to remove yourself from the healthcare system right now is the ultimate flex and the best thing you can do for your family. Ordering couldn't be easier. Go to twc.health/Ruben and add to cart. Use Ruben at checkout to save $45 and get free shipping. Once you've paid, complete the 2-minute intake form and your kit will be shipped to your door. No waiting for expensive doctor's visits, where they would likely refuse your request on even one of these prescriptions. All eight prescription medications ship to your door in approximately 2 weeks. Have exactly what you need when you need it for as low as the cost of a single doctor's visit. Safeguard your health today by going to twc.health/Ruben and use Ruben at checkout. Kits only available in the US of A. And now back to me. All right, I would like to frame today's show with a quote from the great T.S. Eliot. We're going to show you this many times, but this is the point, ladies and gentlemen. Most of the evil in this world is done by people with good intentions. So look, I've already mentioned, it's the people that are being quiet right now that in some ways are adding to the problem, because bad guys usually don't think they're bad guys, right? Most of the evil is done by people thinking they're doing something good, right? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Hitler thought that he was the good guy. The Hamas people raping women and children think they're the good guys. But the issue really is not that. It's all of us that sit there sort of neutral when we see good and evil and don't do anything about it. Or we create these fake binaries that that actually make us not have to take a side. So now I'd like to show you a video of UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. And you know, the UK is having a huge, huge problem right now. They did what we are doing with our immigration and open borders. What we're doing right now, they did it about a decade ago. And they got hundreds of thousands of Islamists and jihadis on their streets, people calling for the eradication of Israel, people calling to overthrow the British government. They take over the streets every week. There are no-go zones, basically, for the average Brit, places that you just would not want to be if you were a white woman walking around at night. So anyway, Rishi Sunak finally yesterday addressed this Islamist threat that is growing in his country. But now note his moral neutrality and how he creates a fake binary. Watch this.
Islamist extremists and the far right feed off and embolden each other. They are equally desperate to pretend that their violence is somehow justified, when actually these groups are two sides of the same extremist coin. Neither group accept that change in our country can only come through the peaceful democratic process.
Yeah, you see what he did there? So he gets it. There are major problems. They have hundreds of thousands of people protesting on the streets of London every weekend, calling for the overthrow of Israel, calling to exterminate all the Jews, river to the sea, all of that stuff. They stop. They focus on going to Jewish stores, all of that. So they have a huge problem with that. Everyone knows that. But instead of being morally true and right, what he does is he conflates it. He knows, well, if I say something about them, then they're going to just call me a racist. So I better just say something about the far right too. And he talks about the violence of the far right. I don't know what violence of the far right he's referring to in the UK. Yes, there are some people that go out there and counter protest, and they're the ones who usually get arrested and everything else, but they don't have hundreds of thousands of far right white British people calling to end the monarchy and calling for the river to the sea and all of the rest of the nonsense. So it's the moral equivalence, it's the fake binary that is the problem. Instead of dealing with the problem head on, Rishi Sunak, which you could do, you could start calling for deportations, make sure that people who are in your country illegally, especially the ones who are now violent and tearing down monuments and all of these things that we see happening every weekend, you could focus on them, but you can't really do it. You can't really do it. And that is a problem. And this is consistent with something that happens with people on the left. Every now and again, they start seeing what the problem is, but then they can never address it quite properly. Now I want to show you a video from the televised mental institution known as MSNBC, and they brought out Michael Moore. They brought out his old bones in his fat suit, which is a little deflated these days. And Michael Moore, who's been a far left maniac in this country forever, here he is talking about the Jews. Now, he's an absolute anti-Israel hater. But here he is trying to make it seem that the Jews' real problem right now, it's those white Christians, right? It's not all the Hamas supporters that are protesting on the streets all over the country and attacking Jewish businesses and schools and temples and all that stuff. It's those white Christians because, you know, they used to do some stuff.
What is the crime? Because according to my knowledge of history, the enemies of Israel who have been persecuted, the Israelis, the Jewish people of this world have been persecuted for 5,000 years. But for the last 2,000 years, most of the persecution has come from white, European-centric Christians. That's been your enemy, No Palestinian helped to build Auschwitz. No Palestinian stood on the docks of New York City when boatloads of Jewish refugees trying to escape the Holocaust came here to be protected by this country and were turned away at the docks in New York and sent back to Germany to die. No Palestinian did that. No Palestinian ran the Spanish Inquisition. Your enemy is not the Palestinian people. It is white Christian European people who have been slaughtering Jews for the last 2,000 years. And let's just call it for what it is. But why are they in an open-air prison? Why are 2 million of them in an open-air prison?
There's so much horse shit there that, all right, Dave, analyze it. Don't just make fun of him. First off, when he says that there were no people known as Palestinians building Auschwitz, that's because there were no people known as Palestinians that existed. There was the British Mandate of Palestine where Arab people lived and Jewish people lived and some Christian people lived and some Druze and some others, but there was no nation of Palestine. So that's why they didn't build Auschwitz. I'm not here to defend the Spanish Inquisition or the pogroms or the Holocaust. So that is not to say that none of the bad things happened in relative to Christianity, okay? However, in the last 75 years, the entire Palestinian and sort of pan-Arab movement has been to kill all of the Jews. That's what the people are chanting right now. So what would you prefer? Would you prefer right now that Israel, it's also interesting that he referred to Israel before the modern state of Israel existed, because he knows that really the idea of it has always existed for those 5,000 years. But what are you really saying right now? Are you saying Israel should be at war with the Christian world? What the hell are you saying? And there is no open air prison. These people had everything that they wanted. UNRWA has been giving them billions of dollars to build a civil society. Instead, they built a giant freaking war machine, which is why it's now 5 or 6 months since October 7th, and they are still at war right now because they built a war machine. They could have had the most beautiful piece of little beach right there on the Mediterranean, just like Tel Aviv, and built something incredible, but they did not. The entire Palestinian movement is only to figure out how to kill as many Jews. That's why the Arabs don't care about them. Egypt built a freaking border and a wall and barbed wire, which actually works, and all of that stuff. I would also make one other point to Michael Moore, who's just not particularly bright, when he talks about the Christian world and what's going on in Europe. Hungary, which is thought of as the most far-right government in all of Europe, they also have, and it's the most Christian nationalist country in the entire world right now, and they also protect their own borders. They have the largest population of Jews in Europe. And when I was in Hungary, it was very obvious to me, between talking to the Prime Minister, Orban, and talking to some members of the Jewish community, that they felt safe there and protected and everything else, because they're not allowing the Islamists in, like Rishi Sunak and his predecessors did in the UK and everything else. Okay, so let's talk about that moral ambiguity. Right now, it is fairly obvious that you have to just let Israel figure out how to end Hamas, get as many of its people back, and then move on, right? Hamas could end this today if they wanted. But the US, we're now playing both sides of this thing. Here's a quote from Reuters. Biden says U.S. military to airdrop food and supplies into Gaza, which in essence is airdropping food and supplies to Hamas. No one else can get it. It is basically funding both sides of a war, right? Of course, when Joe Biden said that he was airdropping to Gaza, he accidentally said that he was airdropping to Ukraine, which caused a huge problem. Here's John Kirby walking that back.
When the president said we were airdropping to Ukraine twice, he meant Gaza, correct? He just misspoke.
He was referring to Gaza.
Yeah, well, how's my suit today? Yeah, well, he said Ukraine, he meant Gaza. Anyway, it continues because we no longer have, I would say, a morally clear government. We have a man with dementia, a woman who is not particularly bright, we have a bunch of diversity hires, and we have a radical base of the Democrat Party that they are now afraid of. Here is potentially soon to be President Kamala Harris with her wonderful analysis of what's going on between Israel and Hamas.
You know, the president and I have been very clear that Israel has a right to defend itself, that we have got to make sure that innocent civilians aren't being killed, and that we've got to get these hostages out. And that is one of the highest priorities right now we have. And I'll tell you, the president has been an extraordinary leader in getting us to this point that we have the 6-week deal. And so Hamas needs to do its thing, as I talked about yesterday in Selma. We all want this conflict to end as soon as possible, and how it does matters.
She mumbled it out there, but Hamas needs to do its thing. What does she mean by that? By the way, we don't have a 6-week deal, a pause or anything like that. Hamas has rejected it, as it has rejected every ceasefire. So when you see all of these dingbats out in the streets, on one hand calling for the river, the sea, so they're calling for the destruction of Israel, and they're also calling for a ceasefire, it's a bit much. But again, if you think that these people are moral or right or just have any concept, the idea that she has any concept of anything related to the history of the Middle East or anything else, it is just completely ridiculous. Israel has every right to do whatever the F it wants to get its people back. That is the duty of any nation. But anyway, I'm showing you all of these clips because then I saw something this morning that was just so spectacular. Every now and again, a clip comes by and you go, well, we're playing that on the show. AOC. You know this real wizard of a woman. She went to the movies yesterday in Brooklyn, and apparently, despite being a member of the Hamas caucus and always voting against Israel, and I would say she's basically a raging anti-Semite and woke progressive awful human being, she's not anti-Israel enough for the radical base, and she was basically chased out of the movie theater by the crazies that she herself has helped instigate. It's spectacular. Enjoy.
You refuse to call it a genocide in front of
everybody.
I need
you to understand.
It's not okay that there's a genocide happening. You're not actively against it.
You're lying.
I'm lying?
You're not.
You went on TV and avoided talking about it.
He was not acting against it. It's a genocide. What you're deciding.
We're not lying.
You've been sending in interviews. It's insane. You haven't been calling it a genocide. Don't tell me I'm lying. Then just say it's a genocide. Just say it. Over 30,000 people are dead, AOC. You can't just say it for once. Just say the word. That's it. That's all we want you to say. Or are you not angry about people confronting the public with the genocide? Over 30,000 people have died.
Stop.
We're not doing anything. We're just talking to an electoral politician. That's all we're doing. That's it.
You're going to cut it, and you're going to cut this, and you're going to clip this so that it's completely out of context. I already said that it was, and y'all are just going to pretend that it wasn't over and over again. It's f***ed up, man. And you're not helping these people,
TV. And
you're not helping them.
You refuse to.
You're not helping them.
Absolutely beautiful. You're getting exactly what you deserve, AOC. You are not radical enough for your unhinged base. You have lied to them about everything. You ginned them up, and now they're pissed at you. Now, again, it is not a genocide, what's happening. Israel is defending itself. Hamas has embedded itself with a civilian population. No army in the history of the world has sent text messages and dropped leaflets and everything else. This is all on Hamas. It could all end today. Everyone knows that. Also, it's an active combat, so people do get killed. A genocide would be when you're exterminating people based on their ethnicity and they have no ability to fight back and your goal is to actually wipe them out. They're trying, and they've repeatedly said that their stated goal is to get rid of Hamas. They want nothing to do with the Gazans, okay? But you might be watching that and going, well, Dave, it's not great. It's not great for society that, you know, we'd have these radical activists who are always wearing masks and everything else who are completely misguided and unhinged. It's not great that they would hunt politicians or public figures down at movie theaters. And I actually agree with the premise on that, except AOC herself doesn't agree with that premise. Here is one of her very famous tweets from a couple of years ago. The whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable. Activists take that discomfort with the status quo and advocate for concrete policy changes. Popular support often starts small and grows. To folks who complain, protest demands make others uncomfortable. That's the point. Well, congratulations, bitch. It's on your doorstep now, and you fucking deserve it. Let's talk about preserved gold, and then we'll move on. Have you heard finance expert Robert Kiyosaki is predicting the biggest financial crisis in U.S. history? Former President Trump also recently warned Americans about the largest stock market crash we've ever had. Could the alarm bells be ringing? Americans who want to protect their savings need to prepare themselves for what's to come. That's why many Americans are turning to physical gold and silver to diversify their wealth. If you want to help protect your retirement, I recommend you request your free investment guide for my friends at Preserve Gold today by texting Dave to 50505. They make it easy. They'll explore the right options for you and help you with the process of having physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA, 401k, or other qualified retirement accounts. Preserve Gold is A-rated with the Better Business Bureau, has hundreds of satisfied clients, and is a founding member of the Precious Metals Association, so you know you're in good hands. And as an exclusive offer to my viewers, they'll give you up to $10,000 in free gold and silver with a qualifying purchase or retirement account rollover. So don't wait. Text Dave to 50505. That's 50505. Or visit preservegold.com/Dave today and get your free gold and silver investment guide and take the first steps toward protecting your wealth. And now back to me. So let's go back to the quote I mentioned from T.S. Eliot before. Most of the evil in this world is done by people with good intentions. Okay, so yeah, the bad guys usually don't realize they're the bad guys. So what would good intentions do? If you had good intentions, you might say, I wish everyone could come to the United States. Everyone should be able to share in our success and capitalism and all of those things. And then what you might do, because you've got good intentions, is you would eliminate the border and you would allow all of these people to come in. It doesn't necessarily mean that you think you're doing the wrong thing. You probably think you're doing the right thing. So now let's go to video from 2021. This is Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas bragging on MSNBC about how he ended all of Donald Trump's immigration policies to let everybody in because he's a good guy, you see?
And I'd like to understand from you what Trump-era immigration policies have been banned, ended, reversed, and if any investigations are underway by you.
So we have rescinded so many Trump immigration policies, it would take so much time to list them.
Oh, so you see, he's rescinded so many and he's very proud of it. Now, he did something bad, but he thought he was doing something good. That's how it works. Again, the bad guys usually don't think they're the bad guys. Anyway, now let's get to this past weekend. You know, there was this horrific, absolutely horrific murder of a young college student, I think 22 years old, by the name of Laken Riley, who just went out to take a jog in the morning, and she was murdered by an illegal immigrant who should not have been in this country in the first place. He's not a migrant or anything else, an illegal immigrant. If she was black, of course, we'd be having riots in the streets in the name of peace and everything else, but she's white, so the media is not sure what to do with this. Anyway, Mayorkas went on CBS News to talk about, well, he was questioned about that and how it sort of relates to everything that's going on at our border.
But I want to ask you about a criminal case that has become a political rallying point. You heard Donald Trump use this phrase, migrant crime. A 22-year-old nursing student, I know you've been following this, Laken Riley in the state of Georgia, was murdered allegedly by an undocumented Venezuelan migrant. The suspect had been detained by Border Patrol upon crossing, released with temporary permission to stay in the country. He then went on allegedly to commit crimes twice, once in New York for driving a scooter without a license, and once in connection with a shoplifting case in Georgia. Did those states and their law enforcement communicate to the federal government that this had happened? Should this man have been deported?
A few thoughts. First, Margaret, first and foremost, an absolute tragedy, and our hearts break for and our prayers are with the family, number one. Number two, and importantly, as a prosecutor, having prosecuted violent crime and other crimes for 12 years, one individual is responsible for the murder, mm-hmm. and that is the murderer. We firmly believe that if a city is aware of an individual who poses a threat to public safety, then we would request that they provide us with that information so that we can ensure that that individual is detained if the facts so warrant.
And it sounds like they were not coordinating.
Well, different cities have different levels of cooperation. Mm-hmm. We were not notified in this instance.
God, it's so disingenuous. Your prayers mean absolutely nothing. And yes, you're right that the one person to blame, you're right in a micro level, that the one person to blame is this illegal immigrant who killed that young lady. But there are, at the macro level, there are many people to blame. People like you that have allowed all of these people into the country. I like how the reporter or journalist, whatever she is, she frames it by saying it's Donald Trump saying it's migrant crime. Actually, Donald Trump should be saying it's illegal immigrant crime, or he could do something more over the top than that. If anything, by saying it's migrant crime, Trump is going bizarrely soft when it comes to the way he speaks usually. So that's sort of interesting. It's also interesting that, again, the quote unquote journalist there repeatedly says that these are alleged crimes. No one's doubting that they are alleged or not. And also, by the way, when he says that, you know, if one of the states says that somebody did something wrong and they're arrested, well, we do everything about it. No, you don't, because I just covered a story yesterday where in Florida, there was an illegal immigrant who raped someone. ICE then said, and ICE's only job is to kick these people out of the country, basically, round them up and kick them out. ICE was like, well, we don't have enough beds for this guy. So then he got let back out into Florida. And then it was only when DeSantis stepped in, so DeSantis had to do the job that ICE, the federal government, wouldn't, that now the guy has been kicked out of Florida again. So it's unbelievably disingenuous. But the point, again, is that Mayorkas only 2 years ago was telling you how proud he was that he reversed all of these mean Donald Trump racist border things, right? All of these laws. I believe that he believes his intentions were good, but now we see the results of those intentions. Let's jump over, because I like showing you how this stuff is now bubbling into every part of culture. Let's jump over to comedian Theo Von's podcast, because he's been talking about this stuff too, and everyone is realizing you can't have illegals beating up cops, raping girls, and the rest of the nonsense.
The fact that they're putting the officers at risk, any of that, you got to go.
Did you see the video of them when they were released that day after the assault? They're walking and flipping the camera.
Oh, yeah, flipping everybody off. They don't care.
So think about
that. They all think they're Chavez.
So that right there broad brushes all these migrants. Not all of them are that way.
Agreed.
Now, I mean, again, fortunately.
The second you kick a cop, though, I think it's a bad look to the people of this country who are still trying to obey the laws.
Yes.
That and uphold them.
Yep.
That you don't make a point, you're gone.
Well, that's the lack of consequences, right? These people, now I don't know all their story, but I know they were processed and released and went to New York. These people have been
who these people are. Get them the out. To be honest with you,
this is what we're talking about, right? This is him.
This is the guy right there. Dude, let that motherfucker loose around. Sean Strickland will beat the shit out of that
in
a heartbeat.
This is what pisses off the Border Patrol agents, because we've had to process and release these type of people, and this is what they end up doing, right? This is not—
I will beat the horchata out of that motherfucker right there, to be honest with you. Yeah. I just don't like it, man. That shit is sick right there.
It's just
a sick way to behave, man. And I don't mean that against anybody. Yeah. Like, I have countless Mexican friends and all kind of shit. I don't need to justify myself, but it just— there's a total lack of respect. And when we don't show any respect for ourselves, after a while, there's a lack of respect that's going to keep coming, man. It's like you're attracting it in a way.
Yeah, that was why I wanted to show you that last line. If we don't show respect for ourselves, other people will not respect us. And that's what we are doing to this country. We are not respecting our laws. So then other people come here and they don't respect our laws, right? So we know this is happening, and now I want to connect this to something else. So we've talked about Google Gemini so far, we've talked about immigration, and now I want to connect this to Supreme Court, Donald Trump, Constitution, democracy itself. But first, why don't we go back to that T.S. Eliot quote one more time. Most of the evil in this world is done by people with good intentions. So again, the Google Gemini people, they probably had good intentions. We are wokesters. We believe that, you know, systemic racism is real and all of these things, and we're going to program AI to reflect that. We think we're the good guys. Immigration, we think everyone should be able to come to America. We're not going to defend our borders. We're the good guys. Well, now let's connect that to some of the legal things related to Donald Trump, because there have been people like these attorney generals and all of these prosecutors who are putting Donald Trump on trial, who are trying to kick him off ballots, and they don't think they're the bad guys. They think they're the good guys. But it's not working out as they intended. Here's a quote from Fox News. Former President Donald Trump will remain on the ballot this election year after the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday unanimously overruled a rule a ruling issued by the Colorado Supreme Court. The ruling means Trump is all but certain to face President Joe Biden in November. The court's ruling largely ends efforts in Colorado, Maine, Illinois, and elsewhere to prevent his name from appearing on the ballot, but the former president still faces a number of other criminal and civil cases. So again, these people that put these that brought these cases to bear in all of these states, they thought they were the good guys. They're defending democracy. That's what they always tell us. So they don't think they're the bad guys by actually trying to remove one of the candidates and not let the people make their decision. They think they're the good guys, and that is the problem. Now we're going to jump back to the televised mental institution known as MSNBC and the Colorado Secretary of State. Her name is Jenna Griswold. She's one of the women that brought this case first. She was the one that kicked Trump off the ballot in Colorado. She did not get the result she wants, and she ain't happy about it because people may have to vote and make decisions for themselves. And that's the worst if you're a really awful person who thinks they're a good guy.
My larger reaction is disappointment. I do believe that states should be able under our Constitution to bar oath-breaking insurrectionists. And ultimately, this decision leaves open the door for Congress to act to pass authorizing legislation. But we know that Congress is a nearly non-functioning body. So ultimately, it will be up to the American voters to save our democracy in November. With that said, we live in a country of rule of law. We have to respect the court's decisions while disagreeing with them. And honestly, I think that's something that MAGA Republicans could take a lesson from. It's okay to disagree with decisions and one another and not turn into violent rhetoric and attempts to steal elections.
First off, why are her eyes like this? She's staring very scarily as if she's been programmed by Google Gemini. But did you catch the one line there? Ultimately, it'll be up to the American voters. I thought that's what elections were all about. People vote and then they choose who the president's going to be. You, lady, were trying to remove him from the ballot. You are not the good guy. That's the problem. Let's continue, because over on CNN, they were having a little pouting session about the whole thing because they're just not getting their way either, although they'll get more Trump, and that is good for ratings.
Look, unfortunately for America, the court isn't necessarily wrong that this is the way the framers wanted it to be. They wanted Congress, the people who are closest to their constituents, to be able to make the rules of the laws. That doesn't change the fact that because of gerrymandering in the House and all kinds of other issues, they're not doing their job on a lot of these big issues. Yeah.
God, Dana Bash, it's as if someone bashed her in the head with the Constitution right before she went on there. Unfortunately for America, the court did the right thing. Unfortunately for America, the court did the thing that the founders set up to make sure that, you know, there wouldn't be this authoritarian control and the people would be able to choose who was going to be president. Unfortunately, oh my God. It continues over at CNN because Jim Acosta is also upset that Trump's able to appeal some of these decisions because, for God's sakes, I believe that Trump is a bad man and that's all I need.
And Jim, what do you say to all those Americans out there who are watching this, who are frustrated and say, you know, Trump is getting away with breaking the law, that he files appeal after appeal, he tries to delay every proceeding that's brought against him in a way that is just, it just goes against what our judicial system should be about. I mean, isn't he treated differently than just about everybody else in this country? I mean, just about anybody else would not have the ability to appeal things until kingdom come.
Well, actually, they do have the ability to do that. That's part of our justice system.
Well, but for all practical purposes, doesn't happen. I mean, the vast majority of defendants don't have the resources to drag everything out in umpteen different cases across the country.
Freaking Trump with his resources and ability to fight unjust decisions. If I haven't rubbed you over the head with that quote one more time, here's T.S. Eliot. Let's see if we frame this thing right. Most of the evil in this world is done by people with good intentions. Dana Bash, I believe you have good intentions as you mock the way the system was set up by the founders. Jim Acosta, you probably think you're the good guy. Oh, Trump shouldn't be allowed to take more of these cases and work them up and appeal and all of these things. That's how evil spreads. evil spreads because the bad guys think they're the good guys, and the good guys usually think they can just duck their heads. That's how it works. Now I want to jump to something else. So why, if you don't think that there's an intentional movement to try to destroy Trump, whether you like Trump or don't like Trump or anything else, the people obviously should be allowed to vote on Trump. There's been a movement all across the world to take out sort of the, let's just say, not elite candidates, the people who seemingly are more for the people. So Eduardo Bolsonaro, who is the former prime minister of Brazil, he was on Tucker's show talking about how the Biden administration is, this is Eduardo, his son. So he is the son of Jair Bolsonaro. And they talk about how the Biden administration is preventing his father, the once prime minister of Brazil, to run again.
It was very obvious from our perspective, from the U.S. perspective, that your election was rigged with the help of the CIA. That was my conclusion.
There is a very good article in Financial Times talking about the help of U.S. to guarantee the democracy in Brazil.
And by guaranteeing democracy, that would be guaranteeing the election of the left-wing candidate.
Yes, yes. And the thing is, there is so much power that the establishment did, for example, to avoid the printed vote amendment that we tried to approve in 2021. Why someone from the electoral court, they organize and they judge everything about the elections in Brazil. Why someone from the electoral court, the Superior Electoral Court, as the president, Justice Barroso, came to the Congress and talked with 11 presidents of political parties, telling them to do not approve the printed vote amendment? Why someone works to we do not have more transparency in the election? It's strange. But as Tucker, in my position, I can tell you, I cannot accuse that the elections was frauded, but they cannot prove that it wasn't.
Okay, but just to be totally clear, in a free country, you can have any opinion you want about an election because you're a citizen, right?
Now in Brazil, they consider it's a crime.
So it would be a crime for you to say, yes, I think the election was stolen.
Yes, I could suffer a lot down there in Brazil if I come back.
Even though we know for a fact the CIA was tampering in the democratic process in Brazil, was playing a role in the election.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm an expert in Brazilian elections. The election that deposed Bolsonaro was hugely contested, as his son is pointing out, and there have been millions of people subsequently protesting the new guy, Lula, who's a far-left socialist, who's really just basically a complete whack job. But the point is that do you not think it is possible that our government, as we see what they're doing to Donald Trump right now, also might be doing some work in other countries? We know for a fact they've been trying to take Netanyahu out forever. We know that they love Trudeau up in Canada. And this is the problem. We all kind of know it, but we don't do anything. So I would say it is a fine line between moral neutrality and moral conviction. And we need more people to have some conviction because, again, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So let's just flash back to a video that I know you've all seen. Here is Joe Biden announcing vaccine mandates on Americans. And remember, he thought he was the good guy when he was doing this.
President Biden is requiring tens of millions more Americans to get vaccinated.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. And your refusal has cost all of us. This is not about freedom. Personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you.
The president is ordering nearly all federal workers and employees of contractors that do business with the federal government get vaccinated within 75 days, eliminating their option to be tested instead of getting shots. Employees who refuse could be punished, even fired.
If you want to work with the federal government and do business with us, get vaccinated.
And the TSA is doubling fines for airline passengers who refuse to mask up.
If you break the rules, be prepared to pay. And by the way, show some respect.
Man, it's so incredible flashing back to those videos, now realizing how evil what those people actually did. But the question again is, did Joe Biden think he was being evil when he was doing it? Now, Is it possible that there were some people at the pharmaceutical companies and the swamp people and everybody who were getting together and they'd be like, we want to make a whole bunch of money. We're going to inject all these people with this stuff. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. Who the hell knows? Maybe we had something to do with the lab leak in the first place. That's all possible. So I'm not saying there are no like genuinely bad actors who kind of know they're doing bad things. But Joe Biden got out there, and I think he, when his mind is so muddled, there's really no way to know what's going on in the mind of that man. But the point is, when all of these people were forcing you to be injected with things, things that broke the Geneva code and all of these things, they thought they were the good guys. And guess what? Yeah, they were the bad guys. Here's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Getting quite emotional, actually, emotional while describing how he's been fighting for the vaccine injured.
What is that like to carry that around? I mean, I know you kind of described it earlier in the Sisyphus analogy, but it's, I mean, it's got to be insanely frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, you really handle it incredibly well.
It's frustrating, but I mean, I look at these, some of my friends that I've made over time who have children who are affected, children who, you know, were perfectly healthy kids who exceeded all their milestones, and then they lost everything when they're 2 years. And a lot of these kids are so severely affected, they'll never, you know, hold a job, they'll never pay taxes, they'll never write a poem, they'll never throw a baseball, they'll never go out on a date with a girl or a boy, and they'll never serve in the military. You know, their lives are so constricted, and the parents' lives are also shattered. You know, these are a lot of these parents, for most of them, because the children have these, you know, severe anger and violence, and they have these tactile sensitivities and light sensitivities and don't like strangers, the parents can't go out. You can't get a babysitter to take care of that child. And the parents just stop going out on dates. A lot of them give up their jobs. Almost all of them, their careers are really debilitated. And I see them going through that. And, you know, anything that I go through is like nothing. So I don't, you know, spend any time thinking of myself. I just don't get frustrated by it, because all I have to do is think, I'm here for those parents. And, you know, and I'm lucky that, you know, I don't have to fight that battle, because I don't know if I don't know if I could take it.
Let's do T.S. Eliot one more time for you. Most of the evil in this world is done by people with good intentions. Okay. Not all of the evil, most of the evil. So we can debate whether Joe Biden thought he was a good guy or not, the CDC people and all of those things, but look at the results of what they have done. Did you just listen to RFK Jr. talk about the kids of some of his friends? We all know people that are vaccine injured. I know someone that's having balancing problems. I know someone who's got a vision problem. The amount of people that have strokes now, we know myocarditis, especially in young men, going up and up and up. So all of these things that I've linked together here, Google Gemini, they thought they were programming something good in their minds. It's turned out to be evil. The border, they thought being open and inclusive was good. Now we have a 22-year-old girl who is now dead thanks to those policies, on top of just the general carnage in our cities. They thought they were doing good by removing Trump from the ballot because he's a scary, mean erectionist. I did it. I did the line. He's an erectionist, an insurrectionist. They think they're doing good by telling Israel that it can't defend itself and it should just lay down and die. They're all doing bad, and that's a problem. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, we got one more for you from this guy, Dave Rubin, a couple years ago over on PragerU. There is something that you can do in the face of it, and I bet you can do it. Take a look.
Do you watch Fox News with your finger on the back button in case someone enters the room? Do you methodically clear your browser history to erase all evidence of PragerU videos? Do you hide your subscription to the Ben Shapiro podcast? Or, and perhaps most dangerous of all, are you afraid of getting caught watching The Rubin Report, which is hosted by the very scary but quite dapper Dave Rubin? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you're in the political closet, and it's time to come out. Here's the good news. If you currently reside in the United States of America, you live in the freest country in the history of the world. Beyond some basic limitations, you can do whatever you want and, with hard work, become whatever it is you want to be. Pretty great, ain't it? So why the long face? Because you know that something is out of whack. You really don't feel free to say what you want, or share your true thoughts on Facebook, or even associate with those you'd like to. And why is that? I'll tell you why. Because there's a mass affliction spreading throughout the Western world. It's called the bravery deficit. People, good people like you, are afraid to say what they think. So what can you do? Believe it or not, the solution is not that hard. Step one, think for yourself. Step two, say it out loud. The point is, perhaps your most important job as a human being is to stand up for the things you believe in. Don't take the path of least resistance. Be better than those who would silence you, deplatform you, and mob you. How? Just stop being afraid. The mob depends on the fact that everyone is scared to say what they think. Don't give them that power.
It goes on and on. I can send you over to PragerU and check out the full video, but you guys get it. Just speak up. Just speak up. Whether the intentions are good or whether they are evil may be largely irrelevant. We see the damage these people have done when it has come to big tech, our border, what's going on with the courts, everything that we've just laid out here. The answer to this is certainly not your silence. And the answer to this is certainly not looking the other way. The answer probably, and the answer ain't that some politician's gonna come save you. The answer probably is you having a little skin in the game and doing a little something about that. And actually, the person that I interviewed this week is doing quite a good job at that, Ashley St. Clair, who's an actual journalist who has been reporting on the front lines of all this immigration madness. Part one is up on YouTube Rumble right now. The full thing is up ad-free at rubinreport.locals.com. And that's exactly where our post-game show is in 30 seconds. If you would like to join us, I thank you for watching, and we will be back tomorrow. Here's humanoid robot Mark Zuckerberg to take you out. Goodbye.
I'm a professional when it comes to the internet. I'm on there all day long. So when I'm inside the metaverse, that's my second home. That's my second life. That's where I really grind and shine. I know I have a lot of flamboyance now. I'm handsome. I'm tall. You think I check a lot of boxes here. But in the metaverse, I'm 10 feet tall. I'm balling. I got wings. Ah, ah! I'm like a bird. I'm flying. You can't do that here. But that doesn't give them the right to sexually harass me or sexually assault me. They say, oh, look at Shorty, looking fine. They say some nasty stuff, way worse than that. And I have to censor myself because of the, situation we're in. But I'm telling you, Dave, it can very easily happen to you. I don't know if you have an online account, but I'm telling you, you log into this, the Oculus 69, you plug this thing into it, you literally, it plugs into you, it feels great. But somebody on the other end can take advantage of you and they can go too far. And that's what happens. So I need your help, Eric. Getting the attention of Mark Zuckerberg. I need your help, Mayor Folk, bringing attention to this. So if this happens again, it's not going to be me. It's going to be one of these kids. It's going to be you next time, Shelly. You're going to order it on HSN, Home Shopping Network. Oh, this is a great thing. I'm going to plug it in. I'm wearing it on my head. Next thing you know, you have a gargoyle doing stuff to you that you would never even imagine. That can happen to you. I want that to be known. So we need to bring attention to the sexual assaults of the Dallas Cowboys, and we need to tell Mark Zuckerberg how I was sexually assaulted within the metaverse, Dave. I really need your help and your attention.
Your time has expired.
You. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stein.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at rubinreport.locals.com.